welcome to episode 66 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Sandy, and this week, I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Robin, Amy, and Elizabeth. We travel to experience new cultures, sights, and wonders, but we also live in a world that is not at peace and bad things happen, both natural disasters and man-made conflict. When bad things happen, does it or should it affect your travel plans? We thought we would share our opinions on the matter and perhaps look more closely at the realities of the situation. So let's get started. All right, so I think we've all heard a lot of stuff because we kind of have our ear out there and we hear everything that goes wrong.
And people call us and yeah. Say, oh my God, what should I do?
So I'll just throw it out there. I mean, I'm a big believer in anything that happens, you know, anything could happen when you walk out your front door. Mm-hmm. So I don't think people should, you know, hide in their houses and mm-hmm. change their plans and things like that. I think, you know, you exercise common sense and caution and, you know, I think most times you'll be okay. So what are some examples, Elizabeth? Give us one of your bad examples.
Well, I will say, in my vast experience, no one has died on a vacation that I've taken. I mean, you know, or sold to somebody. So I think, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, yes, bad things do happen. And I've certainly had people have to rearrange their plans either because of work or somebody got sick or whatever. I mean, those things happen. The chances, and I don't have any statistical evidence on this, but you know, it's kind of like the whole, we just had this big lottery, right? And the chances of winning the lottery are pretty much the same as you getting hit by lightning while carrying a shark through your backyard, right?
Right.
I mean, the chances are pretty much just as good. Right. So, and yet people buy lottery tickets, but then, you know, there's one incident in one little corner of the world and people suddenly get scared. And so let's talk about terrorism first, because I was just traveling during the Paris attacks. And a week after the Paris attacks, there was a huge attack in California that was really quite deadly. And it's really interesting because people tell me I'm not going to Paris, but I say, well, what about California? And I almost say it tongue in cheek. And they're like, sure, what's wrong with California? I'm like, yeah. The same thing happened. Yeah. You know, it's not, it's different. People see domestic terrorism and foreign terrorism as different. And would I go to Tunisia right now? No. There are people who would go to Tunisia right now. ISIS is terribly scary. And I'm not going to say that that's a time to be a tourist. But there are random acts of terrorism that you cannot be prepared for. Yeah. And it should not, you know, the chances of it happening are low. If it happens, it's terrible. It is definitely terrible. And, you know, I don't minimize that. We had a wedding to go to in London 2 weeks after 9/11 happened. And we ended up not going. And our friend who was getting married was actually kind of upset with us because he said, you know, this is, and London is so used to terrorist attacks, which is a horrible thing to say, but it's a big city. So bad things happen there all the time. So why would you do that? We weren't afraid that we would be attacked. That was not even in our radar. What we were afraid of is not getting back, because once 9/11 happened, you heard all the horror stories of people not, you know, people were in Canada on a runway for 12 hours, 24 hours because planes weren't flying.
I had a friend who got stranded in Italy.
Yeah. And so for us, it was a matter of, will we be able to safely travel? It was not, we might die if we go to this place. It was completely all about logistics. You know, so it honestly, your chances of being a victim of a terrorist attack are pretty much, I mean, I think, again, I don't have any mathematical figures.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing about that and the, you know, the guys or the people that did all that in San Bernardino, which obviously they were terrorists, but I mean, you can't anticipate that because you don't, normal people don't think that way. And it's kind of the same thing. I remember a couple years ago in our hometown where this like mad husband or whatever came into the local Target and shot his wife or whatever, who was the cashier. You know, I mean, it's, you just don't expect to see someone gunned down in front of you in Target either, you know, but all it takes is one crazy person or, you know, the people that go into the movie theaters and do it. Well, you know, I'm not going to stop going to
movies. Let's look at the Boston Marathon. I mean, people have trained their whole lives to do this event. Mm-hmm. And
And I did Marine Corps right after Boston that same year. And you want to talk about like you thinking, when you think about how iconic Boston is and you think about they're going to make this statement by attacking Boston, you know, And then you think Marine Corps or Disney, you know, Disney Marathon or something, you know, and I mean, they've completely upped their security since those incidences. But you know, like, I don't know a single person that didn't go run that race because of that. And in fact, it made them want to do it more, you know, just because nobody wanted to bow down to that.
Yeah. Well, and of course, going to a city like that, I mean, people talk to me about Paris a lot. Honestly, that was probably the safest time to ever go to Paris is right after the attacks because that city was on high alert. And so if you ever wanted to feel safe going to a city, that would be the time to do it. You know, it's really not the time to shy away. Plus, that's when the people of Paris needed you to be there.
Yeah.
You know, that's when they needed the tourists to be there and to spend their money and to support that city. So, I think, honestly, bad things happen everywhere. And terrorism is something that you think only happens elsewhere, but it happens to us every day on U.S. soil in one form or another. So by all means, and I will say too, Andy can't be here tonight. So any fans of Andy who listen, he's very sorry. He's very sick, but I know his feelings on this because he said it on other podcasts, always travel, always travel because that, you know, he grew up in England where bad things could happen at any moment. Like I said, London has seen so many terrorist attacks and people keep on living there and you just keep on.
Yeah.
And people keep on visiting there.
Yes. Yeah.
And the tour companies and cruise lines and stuff, they are constantly monitoring this kind of thing. I mean, I say we can't anticipate it, but they try to, you know, and, you know, it's definitely do your due diligence. Look at the travel warnings for the place you want to visit.
Check out the U.S. government travel sites just to be sure, you know, if there's any alerts out there, they're doing their due diligence as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also keep in mind that, when you're outside of the country, I think this is another thing that travel is so good for. It's opening your eyes to other realities. But when you're outside of the United States, the rest of the world looks at things differently. And I remember I had a client in Israel like a year and a half ago, and that was whenever American Airlines, I think, shut down all their flights because of some rocket fire and stuff that was going on. And, you know, I thought that his mother would be freaking out, and the people in Israel were not freaking out at all, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just, there's perspective and there's, you know, and he was fine. He ended up, you know, flying back out on time and everything was great, you know? And
it should be said at a time, you know, the Middle East, I think is a really prime target for people to say, oh, I won't travel to the Middle East right now. People travel to and from the Middle East every day and live to tell the tale. It happens all the time. Is it the safest place you go? It depends on where you're going in the Middle East. The Middle East is a big place.
Yeah.
You know, and again, like places like Tunisia, places like that, maybe I would stay away from where, you know, ISIS is super, super active right now. And especially in surprise mode, maybe it's time to hold off on that. But if Tunisia is your dream location and you need to go this year or next year, because that's when the finances are there, then maybe some careful planning and
people are still going.
Yeah,
and
people are still going.
You know, and check out the insurance policies because there are, you know, when you buy your travel insurance and you get, you know, a policy for something like that, they're going to get you out of there if, you know, things go down. So that's another thing that to always keep in mind. So I think we should go on to a nicer, happier.
Certainly a lighter
topic.
Let's
talk about disease.
Disease is much happier.
Yeah, so right now we have a virus that's causing birth defects. So,
and I'm actually about to go to Mexico, and I'm on a discussion board with other people who are going. And I think for most people, the Zika virus, the biggest, most of it seems to be flu related. I think that's the other important thing is you read about it and you find out what exactly it is. Mosquitoes are nasty little creatures. They are just nasty. And Zika is not the only thing they spread. We've known about all malaria, from everything from malaria, and there's this chinkamunga, which I don't even know how to say. Whatever. It's a serious issue. It's not to be taken lightly, but a little bit of bug spray, make sure it's good for mosquitoes. And then, like with the Zika virus, if you're going to a high-risk area and you're pregnant, maybe maybe don't get off the ship because that seems to be like the biggest side effect. So read up on it and find out what your real risks are. Mm-hmm. You know, we do live in an age of modern medicine and bad things happen and you can get sick at any time and mosquitoes can go anywhere. So be aware, be glad that you live in a society where you can find out about these things and know
that it's
a problem. I
just read about that virus today and they're expecting it to be in every country in the Americas. So that includes North America.
Zika?
Yeah. Yes.
Zika,
So it's, I mean, just because it's not here yet, it'll get carried.
Mosquitoes, man. It's like the flea that bit the rat that started the Black Plague. I mean, it's just, And that has nothing to do with travel. That's just nature.
Yeah, I remember a couple years ago when I was going to Yosemite, they did have a couple deaths from the plague. So, you know, and so, you know, I read, and they were in the campground that we were going to be staying in. And so we, you know, we read up on it and we knew that if we saw any rodents or droppings that we weren't to touch it because that's how it gets spread, was through the air when you disturb it and stuff. So, yeah, just be aware. Read, you know,
stay current. We're planning a trip to Hawaii, and the Big Island is having problems with another mosquito virus called dengue fever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my husband's been asking, you know, should we really be going there? And I looked into it and I said, as long as we use some good bug spray, we should be fine.
And incidentally, I have noticed, cause I traveled, I also went to Asia at a time when the bird flu was a big concern, and the airport will be the first place to notify you. If you didn't know about something, you will know when you go through the airport. There were signs, I was just in Hawaii, and there were signs up about dengue fever and how to avoid it. Stay away from standing water. I mean, like all the common sense things that you need to know. And in Asia, they actually were taking your temperature through like those like modern scanner things as you walk through. And if you triggered a temperature as you were walking through that was higher than normal, they were stopping you. They did not want you in the country. So yeah, they take that stuff very seriously. So you do, you live in an age of modern medicine where we're aware. And again, okay, do you not, if you don't have to go to Mexico this year and you want to avoid it for that reason, okay. But do know that anywhere you go, you risk, I mean, when you step outside, like you said earlier, when you step outside, you're taking a risk.
Yeah.
So, and now all of our listeners are like, I'm never going outside again.
Sometimes it can be a risk just sitting in your house. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you have a like sneaky cat that can be knocking stuff off the shelf on your head. And, yeah.
Yeah. So, and not to make light of it, because it is a serious issue and people do get very, very sick, but you can find out about these things ahead of time and be prepared for them. Mm-hmm. And there are still countries that require vaccinations before you go. And that's something that your travel agent can share with you as you're traveling. If you're going to a high risk area for something, in a lot of cases, there will be preemptive medicine for it.
So how do you guys feel about personal safety when you travel? I know that like people who have been cruising to Nassau have been getting alerts about the crime in Nassau and things like that. And, you know, it pops up and goes down and pops up again.
And Honduras and Belize and Caracas and
Granada. Yeah. So what do you
things like Nassau, for me, that's just normal. You've got to be careful as a tourist in any country. You just, and in Nassau, what I'm hearing is more pickpocketing, or it's nothing too violent. Mm-hmm. No kidnapping, no shooting that I'm reading. Are you guys? Like, I'm seeing mainly like pickpocketing and robbing stuff. So just be cautious. You got to be cautious. I have clients who were asking about Caracas. They wanted to go to South America. So I started a little bit of research because that's not my specialty. And I'm seeing like travel alerts on the U.S. government website. And I'm thinking, this is a big deal. When it gets to that point, like, I'm going to pay attention. So I advise that, here's the warning. Just, and that's like kidnapping. They're doing kidnapping and big time stuff. So yeah, you just have, I don't know. I'm not telling her not to go to South America, but I want her to be aware as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the important thing. You need to be aware of the situation in the country that you're going to.
Yeah.
And I mean, even you get down to pickpockets. I was just in Germany and France, and you know, you go to Cologne, to the big cathedral, and that is, and Andy will tell you, it is a prime space for pickpockets. Anywhere where everybody goes, oh, and looks up, people are there to pick your pocket.
I just read. I'm sorry, Robin, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, any city that you go to is going to have petty crimes like that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they're not things you want to have happen, but if you make the right choices and you're aware of your surroundings and aware of what's going on, you should be fine.
Don't get completely wasted and stumble around talking about how drunk you are.
Exactly.
Even there was one thing that I saw for Buenos Aires. They were saying, be careful of the locals who are going to do the bird dropping trick on you, where out of nowhere something slimy and it looks like bird poop is falling on you. And lo and behold, there's a local there ready to help you clean it off. And as they're helping you and touching you everywhere, they're like pickpocketing you. Like, just be.
Wow.
They're not there to be nice all the time. You hate to think that, but yeah.
So you need to think the worst of everyone. Do not trust anyone.
Just be cautious. People touching you.
And of course, that's not true either. There's lots of nice people in the world. I think it's pure common sense. And it's the whole reason that there's that joke about New Yorkers where they don't actually say, you know, hey, how are you when they're walking down the street? Because, you know, that's not something you do in New York. But it's actually not. There are lots and lots of nice New Yorkers and, you know, polite New Yorkers. And then there are people in New York who would like to pick your pocket. So you just learn to be wise. And actually, I think that's part of the joy of travel is you also become much more aware of the world as it is. The first, somebody tried to pickpocket me. I was in France. I was in Nice, and I was very young. And it was back in the day where you wore fanny packs. And the thing then was these little street.
I never wore fanny packs.
These little street urchins, which I didn't even think street urchins were a real thing, but they are. I totally saw street urchins. I never, and they were adorable and they had dirt all over their faces. And I'm sure they were very hungry and, you know, had somebody controlling them. And it was a horrible situation. But what they do is they surprise you. They come up behind you. They shove a map. This was back when fanny packs were a thing. They would shove a map in front of you and start asking you directions in French or speaking to you in French. You may not know. In my case, I actually spoke enough French to know they were actually asking me how to get somewhere. And the whole time you're confused. You're first surprised that there's all these children around. And then you're trying to help them because they look pitiful. And they are. And the whole time they're opening your fanny pack and taking everything out of it. And fortunately, there was an American behind us who was much more well-versed. And she literally shooed them away. And they ran off and disappeared.
Wow.
And both my traveling companion, whose name was Amy, and myself, our fanny packs were like half open by the time we realized. And she was fast. I mean, the woman behind us was from Chicago. She was not messing around. She was right on top of it. But yeah, that was their scheme. And there's always a scheme. There's always a scheme. So just, you know, be aware. And again, it could happen to you in Raleigh, North Carolina. It could happen wherever you are.
It could.
So
I remember when I used to go, I'm from Long Island, and when I used to go into New York City, my mom would be like, okay, don't wear any jewelry, put, you know, everything on inside pockets, and she did not like the fact that I would take the subway, but I would anyway.
I still have a hard time traveling with jewelry because my mother taught me you don't travel with jewelry, and I see people who travel and they've got their, like, their diamonds, and because they're all dressed up because you're going to special events, and
my grandmother always brought fake diamonds.
Mm-hmm. So you have your fake jewelry that you take when you travel. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really have a lot of
jewelry. Costs as much as real jewelry.
Yeah, right. So what about like mechanical issues whenever everybody heard about the poo cruise and all
so
those
how
people
many
that
of you, let's be honest, how many of us have heard, I don't want to go on a cruise because all the toilets will back up.
We'll get sick. My answer to that is you're more likely to get that, or especially if people are traveling with their family, I'll be like, well, your kid is more likely to get that at college than on a cruise. Mm-hmm. And it's true.
Anywhere where there's a whole bunch of people all together.
Yeah. I mean, every cruise I've been on, they're disinfecting all the time. You know, they're handing you wipes to wipe your hands every time you walk into a restaurant. And, you know, I just have never.
And yet we've all been on a cruise in the last year, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How many of you have seen at least one person walk out of the bathroom without washing their hands? Everybody.
I didn't notice her.
Oh, I notice it all the time.
I don't notice that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm not surprised that it happens, but that grosses me out.
Yeah, when we were on a cruise with the kids, I remember one of them saying, ew, that kid went out of the bathroom without washing their hands.
Yeah. It's not kids. I see grown-ups doing it.
And I have to wonder
if some of these adults are the same ones who are like asking their travel agent, but am I going to get sick?
Yeah, really?
I use the heck out of some, what is it?
Sanitizer? Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you. Sanitizer. Mm-hmm. And I am kind of cautious not to be like rubbing my hand all along the handrails every time I go down 10 flights of stairs or whatever it is.
I do. I touch them all the time.
If I had a dime for every time I saw a kid at Disney World, like running his tongue along
the road. I know, they lick the handrails.
Don't touch them. Just don't touch them.
Well, I remember last January I took a cruise, and right before that was the Ebola scare, and there was that incident with the nurse who had handled like some lab testing stuff and was on the cruise, and even though she exhibited absolutely no signs, the police wouldn't let her in. They had to cancel their port of call in Mexico and everything. So from what I understood, and I didn't know anybody personally on that cruise, but just from reading like the travel agent boards and stuff, Carnival let those people party it up on their days at sea and gave them extra onboard credit and really did a good job of just making it fun. And another thing too, when we were on our conference cruise and we had to skip Nassau because of the hurricane, you kind of wouldn't have known there was a hurricane going on. No, I mean, they did a really good job of not freaking people out. And, you know, even though it was kind of rocky that one night, I was actually really happy we had that experience. So I could
We move on to natural disasters, because that's a nice segue, but I do want to say, first, I actually kind of know Patient Zero. So I actually was on the Disney Magic, I think, right when Princess and Disney both at the same time had that very first huge norovirus breakout that hit the news and sort of started this chaos. And I remember because there was a couple at, we didn't have children yet. And there was a couple at our table and then a single gentleman who was supposed to be traveling with his uncle, but his uncle had gotten sick before the trip. And, the couple didn't show up for dinner the last night of the cruise. And we found out later he was with NYPD and we stayed in touch with them briefly. And it turned out that they were very sick to their stomachs. They were like really, really sick. And they just stayed in their cabin that night. And my friend, shout out to Sean. Hey, Sean in England. He got sick like the next day and had to fly back to England. Oh, with the norovirus.
So he was like sprinting. Just imagine.
Well, yeah. I mean, he didn't know what was going on either. He didn't know if he'd eaten something bad. And then it came out that both the Disney ship, the next sailing of the Disney ship had a problem. And then there was a princess ship at the same time. So I clearly remember that because it wasn't necessarily Patient Zero. I'm sure it's happened before, but that's when the cruise lines got a lot of press for it. And that's when I noticed a change in cruise line behavior. That's when they introduced all the like hand washing stations and the, they really changed a lot, to try and control the situation. But then, a few years later, I went on a Disney cruise with friends and their family came down with a stomach virus. I have no idea if it was norovirus or anything. It could have just been, they had three kids. Things happen. Yeah. Anyone with kids knows you get stomach viruses. But Disney did. They isolated them immediately. They were not allowed to get off the ship at Castaway Cay. They provided them with entertainment. They provided them with like free DVDs and they had to stay in the room, to protect other sailing guests. And when we left, there was a big X on their door and they completely disinfected that room. I mean, that was like, that was a sign where you need to disinfect. So yes, bad things happen, but people will take care of you as well, especially in a cruise ship.
So let's talk just a little bit about the weather. We just had some weather this weekend.
We did.
As we record this, the blizzard just hit the Northeast and, flights were canceled all over
the country.
And you know, it reminds me too, though, of back in the fall when, Hurricane Joaquin came through and then, Columbia had the really bad flooding and stuff like that. And I had people going to Disney from North Carolina and they had to leave a day early or be prepared to take a huge detour because I-95 got washed out. And so I would say you just need to be flexible and pack your patience when it comes to the weather.
Nobody can control the nature.
Yeah.
I had clients who were supposed to go to Disney on Saturday and they were flying and Southwest canceled their flight on Thursday night. and told them they couldn't get them another flight till Monday. So they went back and forth. We contacted Disney to see, you know, what was available if they wanted to go a little later. And they just ended up leaving Saturday morning. I'm sorry, Friday morning.
Did they drive?
They drove because it was Southwest, so they would be able to just use the credit at another time. And the funny thing is their parents were flying on Delta, and their flight, it was delayed a few hours, but their flight went out Saturday afternoon.
Well, and so I had a client that I was working with a lot this weekend who was supposed to go to Mexico from Richmond, Virginia, which was way more under snow than we were. And their flight was canceled. And AM Resorts, while we're giving shout outs to vendors, AM Resorts had a great policy and was willing to honor people's reservations. So if they could come late, they would give them the same number of nights at the same rate, no additional charge. They would waive all fees and they would honor AM Resorts was honoring it through the end of 2016. So you can't promise that every vendor is going to be fantastic, yeah. but then you leave it to your travel agent to make sure you're booked with a vendor who's really, you know, with a product that's really strong like that. And they had the same, they had a similar issue where basically American Airlines said, we can't get you on a flight till Wednesday. So it wasn't like they could get out the next day, but the resort made space for them. And this is one of the smaller resorts too. It wasn't one of these huge mega resorts that had lots and lots of space.
And this also, you know, goes back to the travel insurance thing. You know, if you're going to travel in January, you really want to consider travel insurance. But also when you look at like the discount airlines and stuff, I mean, I love Southwest. They're great. And I love their policy of giving credit and being so flexible with that. But you pick one of those that, you know, like an Allegiant or something like that, that only flies on certain days and only goes to the smaller airports. One of the reasons they're so cheap is because they don't coordinate with other airlines. So if you get stuck somewhere on one of those airlines, you're just waiting for something in their fleet to come up. You can't just go hop on a Delta. Well, you can, but you're going to pay for it, mm-hmm. you know? So keep that in mind. It's not always the best deal. You just have to kind of think about stuff like that. I mean, there's, you know, fees for carry-on luggage with some of those and things like that. So it's not always
the old adage, you get what you pay for. Yes. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
And you know what? And most of what we've talked about tonight, get travel insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of these things are covered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's things, too, that, like, you think, oh, I'm going anyway, it doesn't matter. Well, if your flight isn't leaving, then you're not going.
Yeah. You know? You are not going anywhere.
There's a snowstorm with 3 feet of snow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you think you can troubleshoot it. My clients were willing to fly to Miami 2 days earlier and stay in Miami for 2 nights. They didn't mind that expense. Could not get to Miami.
Oh, man.
There were no flights. It just could not happen. Yeah. So you can have a contingency plan and maybe even another one. And I think that really is the core is that travel insurance, just consider it part of the cost of your vacation. Yeah. Don't think of it as extra. It's mm-hmm. not. It is part of the cost of your vacation because in the end, if you need it, you will never regret buying it. And if you don't need it, I don't think you're going to regret it either because you had an awesome vacation.
Yeah, it's just part, it's like gratuity or something. Yeah. You know, it's just part of the cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, part of the cost.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or search for Flyaway. Or you can email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Amy, Elizabeth, Robin, and our amazing engineer and editor, Heidi, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!